Powerful Incentive by Kelifer Fick. Read by DePatty. Fandom, Teen Wolf. Rated Teen. Pairing, Derek Hale, Stiles Stilinski. Summary. Stiles holds up a hand because he really can't listen to the bites are alright speech that Derek has given Scott dozens of times. Dude, don't. Look, Derek tries again, oddly persistent. Derek, man, my worst nightmare is not me getting bitten. It's him. It's always been him. Stiles is fuming when he gets back to Derek's old house. He knows Scott is following him because he's taking care to make noise, to not spook Stiles, which irks him even more. Stiles knuckles mud out of his eyes as he stomps toward the house in search of a hose because he's gonna have to rinse off before he gets into his Jeep and leaves. He really hates that he can't just storm off in peace. I'm not pissed at you, Stiles throws over his shoulder when Scott's footsteps get closer, quicker. He figures that's what Scott's chasing him for, because Scott can't bear the thought of anyone being mad at him. Stiles tried the silent treatment on Scott once, and Scott gave him the puppy eyes and wobbly, uneven jaw until he talked. Well, I'm pissed at you, Scott completely surprises him by saying. Stiles spins on him, his feet sliding for a second because he's coated in mud, and Scott reaches out and steadies him before he can fall on his ass again. What? Why? Stiles demands. Some of the mud is drying and flaking off, creating itchy patches. Stiles decides Scott's problem with him can wait while he resumes his search for the hose that he knows Derek uses for a regular werewolf rinse before rejoining decent society. He finds it, picks it up, and shoves the spray nozzle into Scott's hands. Scott, obviously unable to ignore Stiles' plight despite his own supposed anger, obliges and gives Stiles a thorough spraying, maybe a little too vehement, with the water to the face. He's lucky it's a warm night. You know not to run, Scott says, tossing the hose aside. I didn't know he was there. That's the point. As soon as you did, you should have stopped, Scott argues. It's pretty hard to rein in the flight instinct when you're already running, Stiles says, throwing up his arms. Something came at me out of the trees. I wasn't exactly going to stick around and wait for it to catch up. You can't outrun any of us, despite how much practice you get, Scott says. And yes, he's being annoyingly reasonable. Stiles has had it drilled into him over and over that if he triggers any of the wolves' prey drives, then he needs to stop immediately, drop to the ground, show submission. They'll recognize his scent if they can stop chasing him long enough to do it. It's just really hard to ignore your own body that's screaming at you to take off as fast as possible when something with glowing eyes and sharp teeth is barreling towards you. Derek could have tackled Isaac. He didn't have to push me down face first into a bog, Stiles huffs, indicating the fact that despite the impromptu shower, he's still literally coated in muck. Isaac was fixated. Derek would have had to hurt him to stop him. Getting him to stop on his own was the only way. This is a very different tune for you, singing the praises of Derek, Stiles spits, just suddenly very tired. He's had a rough night. Dealing with the humiliation of being unceremoniously manhandled into submission takes a lot out of a guy. Maybe we should spend some time one-on-one, Scott says. And Stiles starts to grin despite himself, mood already lifting at the prospect of maybe getting some quality Scott Stiles time, since he's lost most of it to pack business and Allison. But Scott chokes off the burgeoning better mood by adding, you know, instead of you coming along to training. You want me to just sit at home, twiddling my thumbs while you guys gamble around the woods? Stiles asks incredulous. If he loses pack time, then Stiles isn't really sure how much of his best friend is left to him. He knows Scott tries to devote any time he's not studying or on the field to Allison and their very fragile reconciliation, which is why Stiles had started coming along to the training sessions in the first place. The fact that he started to get a kick out of them, and the others hadn't seemed to mind his presence, didn't hurt. Even Derek had stopped giving him a scowl as a default expression, and had started looking tentatively less pissed off with him with his continued interest. I don't know why you bother anyway. You're just my plus one, Scott says, shrugging, and Stiles just blinks at him for a moment, gut punched. Scott doesn't know how to be cruel, unintentionally or otherwise, so Stiles is starting to suspect that this is an errand rather than an opinion. Fine. Stiles manages to get out, hopefully without sounding as hurt as he feels. But if I'm getting tossed out of pack business, that means all pack business. No trying to use me when it's convenient for you guys. Scott's now looking a little puzzled. I wasn't talking you out. That's not... Yeah, I know you weren't. Styles snaps, makes a beeline for his Jeep, and ignores Scott calling after him. He needs to go home, lick his wounds, and wonder what the hell he's going to do for a social life without the pack in it. Not having to run for his life every third day is a steep price to pay for the overabundance of quality alone time he's suddenly facing. As he wheels the Jeep around to point back towards the ragged excuse for a road leading up to the old Hale house, Styles spots Derek slinking out of the trees to interrogate Scott about his success now Styles is safely on his way. A man approaches him when Styles drops into the bench at lacrosse practice the next day as he sets his helmet down beside him. The man's carrying a clipboard, and it's the same kind of handsome that Derek is, where it almost circles around to being off-putting. He's got swept-back dark blonde hair, blue eyes, and sharp features. "You're one of my players?" he asks, looking down at his clipboard. Styles tries not to stare at his long, elegant fingers as they trace down what Styles supposes is the team roster. He's got just the edges of what must be a fairly large and intricate tattoo peeking out of his shirt collar, and Styles has pretty much had a thing for that ever since he saw George Clooney in From Dusk Till Dawn. "You're the local sex offender?" Styles counters, raising an eyebrow. The guy huffs and amused him. "Coach Finstock broke his leg in three places playing tennis," he says, and when Styles just blinks at him, he adds, "Yeah, I don't know how that happens either." "So you're what, a substitute lacrosse coach?" Styles asks, suspicious. "Actually, I'm a substitute economics teacher, but apparently in this school, that equates to the same thing." "You know lacrosse?" "Barely. Always struck me as a weird sport," he confides, and Styles can't help but smile back. Thinks he might finally have a teacher that doesn't hate him on sight. He's a good student. Good enough that the others cut him some slack and overlook the behavioral problems and his propensity to turn up at crime scenes. "You want to start tomorrow night?" "Start what?" Styles asks, confused. The substitute, who hasn't supplied a name yet, gestures toward the field. "Oh, no, Styles says, laughs shakily. "I'm not first line. I'm..." Styles pats the bench he's planted himself on. "Who says?" "Genetics," Styles tries, and the teacher outright laughs this time. "You're starting. Someone else can ward the bench." The substitute runs a finger down the list. "Maybe this Jackson person?" he says, and Styles tries not to contain his glee at the very prospect of running around the field while Jackson sits on the sidelines and fumes. "Thanks, Mr. Cooper," he supplies, pats Styles on the shoulder, and then bops him lightly on the head with the clipboard, still looking amused before he moves off to a cluster of other players. Styles pulls his helmet on backwards so he can scream into the padding for a moment without anyone knowing. Then he collects himself and flips it around the right way, joins the others for drills, and tries not to vibrate off the ground with happiness. Styles is glad he took Deaton's advice and implemented a very manual security measure for his room, which means he wakes up to a boot in the sternum instead of Derek silently looming over him at 2 a.m. The boot in the sternum isn't really that great, but Derek's hilariously startled expression and the fact that he lands on his ass when Styles flails from underneath him makes it almost worth it. "What the hell?" Derek demands from the floor. "I think I'm supposed to ask you that," Styles wheezes, gingerly checking his chest to make sure his ribs are still intact and not crushed into bone paste. Derek picks himself up, only to drop unceremoniously into Styles' desk chair. He slumps down, glowering. "You reorganized your room." "I didn't realize that I needed werewolf planning permission for that," Styles grumbles, sitting up and fussing with his sheets. It was stuffy in his room, so he's only wearing boxers and feels strangely vulnerable. "If you must know, I was guarding against surprise nocturnal visitations. Ta-da! Very effective." "You were expecting a break-in?" Derek demands, looking weirdly on edge. "Yeah, by you, you giant dork. You've done it before." "One time, and that was during the day." Styles flails his hand at Derek, as if to say that his very presence negates any argument he can make about Styles' preparedness for the eventuality. Derek rolls his eyes and acknowledges silently that he may have a point, if no further forthcoming protests are any indication. Styles thinks their nonverbal communication is really coming along. "What was so pressing?" Styles asks, rubs at his chest again. "Literally, as it turns out." "You weren't at tonight's meeting," Derek grunts. Styles was expecting some research emergency that required his Google foo, but instead Derek spins lazily on the chair, lacing his hands behind his head and looking at Styles expectantly. I wasn't welcome, Styles says, and Derek frowns. What gave you that idea? The whole thing with Isaac and then Scott after. Derek's frown gets so deep the corners of his mouth look like they'll roll right off his chin. What about Scott after? He told me it was too dangerous, that I was just his plus one anyway. Styles says, swallowing against the stubborn hurt lump that forms in his throat at remembering that particular conversation. Styles knows deep down that Scott only wants to protect him, worries about his safety, but Styles can't help but feeling rejected. You're not. It is dangerous. Derek looks puzzled. Like Styles not attending the meeting just because he'd been told not to throws his whole worldview out of order. I'm not completely socially inept. I can tell when I'm not wanted somewhere, and it is really shitty you got Scott to do your dirty work anyway. Styles says, but he's lost Derek's attention. Derek instead has plucked Styles' practice jersey off the back of his chair and has it pressed to his face. No, that's not super creepy at all, Styles says dryly. What is this? Derek demands, suddenly sounding angry. My lacrosse shirt? And I'm assuming the smell of sweaty teenage boy? No, this. Derek says, jumping upright and shoving the jersey under Styles' own nose. He bats Derek away, scowling. I don't know what you're getting at. I've got an adorable yet human nose. Except, Derek is shoving the jersey's shoulder at Styles, and he can just about guarantee what Derek is going to say next. It's another wolf, Styles. Another werewolf touched you. Don't even finish that sentence if you're going to lie to me. Derek practically growls. He looks incensed, ready to rip something limb from limb, and Styles is really hoping it's not him because he's quite attached to his limbs. Styles tucks his legs up against his chest and wraps his arms around them to remove temptation. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, probably, Styles admits, because new teacher plus new werewolf smell doesn't take a genius to work out. He knew it was too much to ask a teacher to take a shine to him off their own bat. Styles drops his chin to his knee glumly. Am I wolf nip or something? Derek blanches. What? He manages a strangled sounding voice. You know, Peter liked me in his uniquely bizarre and completely unsettling way, and now this guy? He offered to put me on fresh string. Your lacrosse coach? Derek asks, looking puzzled. Our substitute lacrosse coach. Finstock broke his leg. He'll be at your school tomorrow then? Derek presses, and Styles tangles his fingers together, frustrated. He could be like you, right? Not good exactly, but not homicidal? Please tell me there's a chance. Derek's glower subsides. There are werewolves that live perfectly normal lives without all the drama. Yes, he admits. My family before the fire. I've been sitting on that bench for 2 years. I blew my first chance at starting. The because of you remains unsaid because Style knows Derek hears it by the way he winces. Can you maybe hold off in the big showdown until I play one game my dad can watch and not see me cooling my heels the entire time? Derek's expression tightens, giving nothing away. He's still holding Style's jersey in a clenched fist. Maybe, he hedges. It's just his scent isn't... It's not... There's something off. You're just making that up. You love drama and you look for problems, Styles huffs. Derek rolls his eyes again and Styles is suddenly just sick of the sight of him, sick of everything. Can't you keep an eye on him without the theatrics until after tomorrow? Derek hesitates, but then he deflates. He tosses his jersey towards Styles' overflowing hamper, then wipes his hand off on his jeans like he wiped the offensive scent off his palm. Fine, he grits out between his teeth. I swear, the moment he looks even the slightest bit shifty, he's all yours. Just, maybe he's here to fill in for a sick teacher and that's it. I doubt it, Derek grumbles. Derek can be stealthy when he wants to be. So Styles knows that he's doing it on purpose when he hulks around the sidelines of the game the next night, glaring at Coach Cooper and making a big show about he can be restrained. Erica, who usually hates going to games, is sitting in the bleachers pointedly wedged between Allison and Lydia, which means Derek's made his whole pack be present. Styles decides not to care. He ignores the way Scott keeps trying to get his attention, how Isaac and Boyd go out of their way to be jovial. Isaac a little more desperate about it because he obviously thinks Styles' anger with the pack has something to do with him losing control. Styles fights the urge to reassure Isaac, but his ability to dig himself into a guilty pit of despair would only be surpassed by Derek on a good day. He's decided to separate himself from the pack at least for tonight, then maybe see about the bygones later. Cooper sends Stiles out into the fray with another hearty slap on the shoulder, and Stiles clashes a flash of red out of the corner of his eyes. Derek being a flamboyant asshole as per usual. Stiles centers himself, rips his gaze away from Derek, and instead concentrates on the field, his opponents, his dad sitting with Scott's mom beside him, cheering for all he's worth. Stiles doesn't get the Mighty Ducks ending to his night like he was hoping for. The other team is good, and they beat Beacon Hills despite their supernatural advantages. But it isn't by much, and he gets more than a few respectful nods from his opposition as they leave the field. Cooper gives him raised eyebrows, spreads his hand and shrugs, a what-can-you-do gesture that Stiles agrees with wholeheartedly. He'd rather be playing a loser than sitting on the bench watching his team win. He knows it's probably selfish, but he figures he deserves a little selfish time. He's been doing nothing but putting other people first lately, and it's now officially Stiles' time. Good game. Really proud. Cooper offers them all as they trail off the field, a little less enthusiastically than they ran on. You'll get him next time. Did that come from your big book of sports cliches? Stiles asks, and his teammates chuckle around him. Sports cliches for dummies, actually. Cooper rejoinders with a wry grin, and Stiles offers a touché smile. He doesn't even realize he's paused in front of Cooper until he feels someone at his back, hot breath on his snape. Derek, he sighs, not even having to look around to know he's right. Stiles sees Isaac, Boyd, and Scott having clumped together a few feet away, Erica joining them. What's your business here? Derek growls over Stiles' shoulder, and Stiles feels goose flesh break out up his arms and across his back at Derek's proximity. He's practically leaning over Stiles, which is impressive considering Stiles is now taller due to an unexpected growth spurt at 17. Stiles fights the urge to hunch down, fold himself into the curves of Derek's body, and instead pushes away, Derek looking surprised for a second before he reins the expression in. What's with the heavy neck breathing? Jeez. Stiles protests. He knows it's probably not a good idea to sass Derek in front of another werewolf, one he's trying to appear all alpha tough in front of, but he's been told in no uncertain terms that he's not pack. He knows he's being a brat, but it makes him feel just the tiniest bit better. Are you someone's parent? Cooper asks, and Derek just blinks at him. Do I look old enough to be someone's parent? You might moisturize? Don't be cute. Just state your business. Derek grits through his teeth, and Stiles is really glad he's not standing between the two werewolves anymore, because he's fairly sure Derek is about to throw down. I'm substituting, Cooper says, looking bored with the exchange. Stiles wishes he could learn how to do that, because it seems to be aggravating Derek more than anything Stiles has ever done. That's your cover. What's your real reason? Derek demands, advancing, and Stiles see the others bristled, prepared for a fight. I'm looking for a pack. Cooper says, and when a growl starts up deep in Derek's chest, Cooper holds a hand up. Relax, Hale, not yours. You know who I am? Derek asks, dropping the growl and looking unsettled instead. I do research if I'm going into another pack's territory. I can't always control where the school system sends me, and I was being careful to stay out of your woods. I had the school be a neutral territory. It's not, Derek says, and Cooper shrugs. So I see, Cooper says, hovering wolves at Derek's back. Filling your pack with teenagers is certainly bold. I suppose you're young. You're bound to make mistakes. Derek does move then, but Stiles slides in front of him, holding his hands up. Hey now, how about we all take a deep calming breath? I'd rather take a deep calming chunk out of this asshole. Derek snarls between his teeth, which are rapidly elongating, but he doesn't push Stiles out of the way. He even lets Stiles put a hand on his chest and push him back a few feet. Stiles suspects it's because that it puts him further away from Cooper, too. Hale, you better learn some manners. I might be a lone alpha, but when you have an established pack come into your territory, this posturing won't cut it. Are you seriously trying to lecture me? Derek growls, and Stiles drops his hands to Derek's biceps, grips tightly to remind Derek that he's still there. I'm trying to give you some advice, Cooper says. Then his gaze flicks to Stiles. Good game tonight, Stilinski. And with that, he nods and moves off, showing his back without a thought, possibly as a final fuck you to Derek, because it's an indication that he doesn't find Derek threatening in the least. I like him, Erica pipes up, smirking. Stiles' phone rings at 2 in the morning, and that's never good news. He's expecting it to be some kind of wolf emergency. Possibly Derek being the hothead he is, going after Cooper on his own, but instead it's Elizabeth from dispatch sounding careful and wavery. Stiles barely hears what she says, other than, "Your father and hospital." He blindly steps into jeans, pulls on a hoodie over his bare chest, and sneakers without socks. He takes the steps down to the ground level of the house three at a time and can't remember if he locks the front door after him. Stiles will later wonder how he made it to the hospital in one piece because he certainly doesn't remember the drive, doesn't even remember breathing until he's standing at a viewing window watching his dad complain good-naturedly to a nurse who looks to be finishing up wrapping his ribs. "What the hell?" Stiles demands, pushing through the door and flailing a hand at his dad's midsection. His dad had cracked a few ribs before, and Stiles certainly doesn't want to revisit the bitch fest that few weeks had been. "Relax, kid, nothing's broken," his dad says, reaching out a hand with only a small wince to catch Stiles by the nape and tug him closer. Stiles goes, careful to hug without applying any pressure to any area that's bandaged. "What happened?" "Damn giant dog." The sheriff huffs and Stiles feels his whole body go cold. "What?" "Yeah, must have been a mix of a couple different horse-sized breeds. I didn't even see it coming. I'll have to call animal control in the morning and see if they can track it down." "Did..." Stiles swallows against a suddenly dry throat. "Did you get bitten?" "It's fine, really," his dad says, smiling in a mild way. "I already got enough needles to make me feel like a pincushion, and it wasn't deep enough to need stitches. I only just broke the skin." Stiles feels his lungs and throat close up. He's suddenly leaning over his knees with white noise in his head and his dad's hands on his shoulders, trying to lever him back up. His dad's voice is a litany of, "Hey kid, Stiles, come on," trying to bring him back from the black place of panic, and Stiles finally manages a tiny sip of breath, enough that the dark spots recede from his vision. "Sorry, just ran up here and must have been more winded than I realized," Stiles croaks out when he can force a little more air in. His dad doesn't look convinced. Only takes his hands away when Stiles is fully upright and prying off his grip. "I gotta make a call." "Okay, don't go too far," his dad says. Eyes still worried, and Stiles offers him a jaunty wave that drops as soon as he's edged back out of the room, digging desperately for his phone in his jeans. Curses when he realizes he dropped it at home after he'd hung up on Elizabeth on thinking. He rushes to the nurse's station. Beryl, an older woman with kind eyes and hair streaked with gray, who always sneaks him and Scott the uneaten desserts when they're waiting on Melissa, smiles to see Stiles approach. "Hey, hon, you okay?" she asks, smiles at him when Stiles gets closer and she gets a look at his expression. "Can I use your phone?" Stiles gets out, and something in his voice must warn her that he's on a shaky edge of control because she passes it right up without question. Stiles picks up the handset and tucks it under his chin, dials the number from memory, and squeezes his eyes shut when the ringing seems to go on forever. "Hello? Derek?" Stiles says, swallows thickly. "Derek, my dad, can you come?" Stiles is sitting outside the emergency department with his head balanced on his knees when he's hauled roughly to his feet. Stiles flails for a second before the searching hands and rough grumbling register as Derek, and then Stiles goes limp, putting up with whatever physical reassurance Derek needs to give himself before he'll listen to actual words. "Where are you hurt?" Derek demands, gripping Stiles by the shoulders and obviously resisting the urge to shake him because he's wary of undiscovered injury. "I'm not," Stiles says, bats Derek's hands away when he resumes patting Stiles down for himself. "Derek, I'm not, okay? I'm..." Stiles nearly says fine, but he can't quite manage it because he's currently worlds away from fine. "Why are you here?" "I told you that." "No, you mumbled something then hung up on me. I had to track you here." "Like a bloodhound?" Stiles asks, blinking, and Derek looks hilariously aggravated. "More like someone who rang the number back you called me from and asked." "Oh, that's not quite as cool," Stiles says, and Derek's grip on him tightens. "Ow! Ease up! I'm not a stress ball!" "Stiles!" "Okay, it's my dad. He said it was a giant dog, but how likely is that with the old Stilinski look? He's worried about stitches. Jesus, it's the last thing. Stiles, he was bitten, Derek. My dad, he was... Can you check? Do you know when..." "Stiles, slow down. Your dad was bitten?" He's hit by a giant dog. There's a new alpha in town, and my dad happens to get chomped on by an oversized dog at the same time. Derek's looking at him, his expression tight. I can check, but Styles, I don't think your dad would let me get close enough. Is Scott here? I haven't called him yet, Styles admits, then chews on his lower lip. Scott should have been his first call. Would have been, and Styles doesn't know when that changed. Styles doesn't know why his first instinct was to seek out Derek, and he doesn't really want to look at that too closely right now. Derek looks tentatively pleased for a second, but that's impossible, because Derek is neither ever tentative or pleased, so Styles figures it's the near panic making him hallucinate. Derek ducks away from him, has his phone out, and is calling Scott. Styles lets himself slide back to the ground because standing seems like too much hard work. Derek hangs up and crosses back to Styles, but instead of manhandling him upright again, he just slides down next to Styles, nudges their knees together. He's on his way. 5, maybe 10 minutes. Thanks. You know, he might not turn. Yeah, he could die. I don't really need to be reminded of what's behind curtain number 2. Styles grates. That's not... Turn or die. That's what you've always said, right? That's what you know. Derek looks at him for a moment. Styles stares at his knees, but he can feel the weight of Derek's gaze on the side of his face. What happened with Lydia? What happened with Lydia showed me that I know shit. You think there's going to be 2 mystically immune people in Beacon Hills? Styles asks incredulous. It just might not take. There's something off about your teacher that I can't explain. We don't know everything. My dad could become a canema, Styles says. And he's not really the happiest of souls. Styles, that isn't going to happen. Jackson became a canema because he felt completely bereft, alone. Your dad doesn't feel that way. He has you. Derek's silent for a moment before he sighs. Despite what your movies might have told you, an accidental unwanted bite doesn't happen that often. Most people that get bitten are courting it, want it to happen. There might be something that can be done before his first moon. Maybe. We can ask Deaton. I might be overreacting. He might have been bitten by a poodle and is trying to save face in front of the guys, Styles says, because if Derek is grasping at straws, then maybe he can too. Did it look like a poodle bite? I didn't get him to show me, Styles says. You didn't look? Why not? You didn't feel compelled to look at the blackened corpses. Styles shuts his mouth so hard and so fast that he bites painfully into the tip of his tongue. Derek is not looking at him anymore. He's staring straight ahead into the hospital car park. Wow, that was monumentally crappy thing to almost say. It's all right. No, don't give me a pass because I'm stressing out about my dad. Just maybe when this is all over and we know he's fine, you can yell at me about being an insensitive prick. Derek's frozen look thaws a little and the corners of his mouth turn up. Sure. Scott chooses that moment to burst out of the trees lining the hospital car park and skids to a stop, trying to look casual about appearing out of nowhere. Derek's hand bearing down on his shoulder makes Styles realize that he's jigging in place while Scott is in with his dad. Styles is lucky he and Scott have a history of morbid curiosity, so it won't seem weird when Scott asks to see the bite and his dad is likely to humor him without getting suspicious. Derek thinks Scott will probably be able to tell by the smell anyway, but a look at the bite will confirm it. Look, I know your worst nightmare is for you to be bitten, but... Styles holds up a hand because he really can't listen to the bites are alright speech that Derek has given Scott dozens of times before. Dude, don't. Look, Derek tries again, oddly persistent. Derek, man, my worst nightmare is not me getting bitten. It's him. It's always been him. Why would it be so bad? Derek demands. And Styles knows that when it comes to this subject, Derek can be stubbornly tunnel-visioned. Because if there's even the slightest, most minuscule chance that he can hurt somebody someday, that he could hurt me, he won't risk it. When Derek just frowns at him, Styles flings out his hands, frustrated that he has to spell it out. My dad won't deal with this like Scott, all denial and dating a local hunter. He's more likely to follow the crazy Mama Argent school of coping. He wouldn't do that. Styles just stares at Derek until Derek drops his gaze. Derek and Scott trail Styles back out of the hospital. Derek's silent and Scott pale-faced and shocky. Scott had confirmed what Styles had most feared just by stepping out of the room. He didn't even need to say it. Styles is gripping his dad's cruiser keys because he promised to bring the car around. He needs to pull himself together and then try and come up with a plan. Scott's making this low, almost painful whine as he stays at Styles' heels and is wearing on Styles' last nerve. He turns around and kicks Scott in the shin because he needs to lash out at something. Ow! Hey! Scott protests, looking wounded. Just shut up, I need to think. Styles. No, Derek, when I want your input, I'll ask for it. Styles snaps, turning on him, but Derek doesn't look surprised in the least by Styles' outburst, just stares back out at him, mild as ever. God, does anything actually affect you? Styles adds meanly. Quite a lot, actually. Scott's looking between the two of them, a worried dent in his brow. Hey, guys. Are you sure? Because you're pretty good at acting like an automaton. I wish you'd focus your anger in the right direction. I've always had trouble with focus. The weak human needs to be medicated to stop vibrating long enough to sit a test, remember? We have to find that other alpha, Derek points out. Styles can't really stand logic right now. He just needs to yell at someone. Yeah, we need to find the guy you challenged already. What are you saying? I'm saying that this is your fault. If you hadn't felt compelled to whip it out and piss all over everything, including me, I might add, then Cooper might have been happy to do his job and leave. You got him spoiling for a fight. You got my dad bitten. Styles has lost Derek's attention, which makes him see red, and he takes a swing at Derek's face, wanting to jolt it out of impassivity just the once. But Derek catches his fist easily, his gaze not leaving Scott. Why didn't any of the others smell wolf? You were all at practice with Styles, right? Styles tries to yank his hand back away, but Derek holds him, actually raises his own arm so Styles is pretty much dangling ineffectually. I don't know, Scott says, rubbing at the bridge of his nose and looking uncomfortable. We aren't born to it like you. We might have just missed it. There's three werewolves on the lacrosse team now. Since get muddied. He's an alpha. You should have smelled it. Styles stops kicking at Derek, his curiosity lancing his anger. He didn't smell like you, Scott says, shrugging. Even when we knew he didn't, it's weird. It's like that time you left Allison's jacket out in the woods. I was following the scent, but somewhere deep down I knew it wasn't her. All the elements were right, but there was that vital something missing. This is fascinating, but I really want to get my dad's cruiser and take him home now. Then maybe find Deaton, Styles says. His shoulder is starting to hurt, and Derek jumps a little like he forgot he was holding Styles like a rag doll. He drops Styles abruptly, and Styles stumbles a little before he gets his balance. Yeah, thanks for that. He huffs straight in his jacket. You go see Deaton. We'll see if we can track this Cooper down. No.
No?
Derek's eyes narrow. What do you mean, no? I mean, I don't want you anywhere near this guy. I'm going to go see Deaton, but I'm pretty sure he's going to tell me what we already know, that my dad's only chance is to kill the alpha that bit him. I can't risk you ruining that.
I wouldn't, Derek grates.
Oh, yeah? Styles looks pointedly at Scott, who grimaces and gives Derek a, he's got a point, flail of the hands. I'm just going to make sure he doesn't skip town. Get the betas to sit on him, literally if need be, Styles says. You don't get within 50 feet of him. I mean it. They won't be strong enough. The four of them will be fine. Get Allison. Actually, Scott, give me your phone. Styles makes grabby hands at Scott, who digs into his pocket and then tosses the phone over. Styles? It's not that I don't trust you in general, Styles says as he finds Allison in Scott's address book and hits call. Just not about this. Hey, Allison. No, it's Styles. I need your help. Stop poking it, Styles says as he gets scrambled eggs in front of his dad. His dad has his shirt hiked up around his armpits and is fussing with the edge of the bandage. His dad drops his shirt and looks ridiculously pleased when Styles sets three strips of bacon on top of his eggs. That doesn't look like turkey bacon, he says. That's because it's the real kind. Don't get used to it. Special injury only bacon. One-time offer. Styles' dad gives him a mock salute and a grin before he digs in, probably relishing the change-up from egg white omelet. There's a knock at the door and Styles leaves his dad to it, making ridiculously happy noises into his breakfast. That only makes his heart hurt a little. Styles is surprised to open the door and find Derek. Instead of the cold hello he's intending to say, Styles blurts, I don't blame you. Not really.
You should. You were right, Derek says.
God, no. Please don't add me to your guilt mountain. That thing is scary tall already.
I don't have a guilt mountain, Derek says, rolls his eyes when Styles raises an eyebrow at him. It's more of a guilt bluff. What are you doing here?
I didn't think you'd want to tell your dad all this by yourself. Plus,
It's kind of hard for you to prove. You think I should tell him?
You don't?
I didn't really want to unless it became necessary, Stiles says. If Deaton can't... Stiles, your dad's got a pretty even baseline, but I have seen him get mad. He might not necessarily make it all the way to the full moon before he discovers what's going on for himself. He's the kind of guy that'll want to be prepared. I know you're right. I just kind of wanted to be in denial about it a little longer. Stiles sighs. We'll look out for him, whatever happens. Oh, so he gets automatic pack pass just because of this, Stiles says. Frowns because now is not the time to be impotently hurt. What's that supposed to mean? Nothing, Stiles says. Just me being a selfish teenager. I just, with how you got Scott to make sure I knew I wasn't pack.
I, what?
Derek looks so genuinely surprised. Stiles, I didn't do that. I would never do that. You're pack. Of course you're pack. Scott told me I shouldn't come to the training sessions, that I was his plus one. I figured it was coming from you. It didn't, Derek says. Scott gets... We all get worried when you get hurt, and you get hurt a lot. Yeah, fine. The weak human speech, I've heard it all before. What I meant was, I don't even know why you would want to be pack when you aren't, when you don't have to be. You think that I or any of the others only hang out with you because they have to? I thought I was the one having a pity party. Shut up. Derek grunts, but it's more exasperated than anything else. Like Derek hates when his vulnerable underbelly shows. My dad's not my only family, Stiles says. His gaze locking with Derek's, and their stare-off only interrupted by his father pointedly clearing his throat. Hail, his dad says, nodding stiffly.
Sheriff,
Derek returns the most awkward greeting in existence, and Stiles throws up his hands between them. Would you both stop looking like you're about to draw swords? Look, I know you're old enough to make your own decisions, but there are some I really question, his dad says boldly. Sir, I have something to tell you. It's important. Derek interrupts and his dad flicks a narrowed-eyed glance Derek's way.
Did you come to confess something?
That would make my year, quite frankly.
Dad!
It's just that my gut rarely lies, and it's been telling me there's something up with you and I can't put my finger on it.
Dad!
Look, at this point, I'll take anything. Overdue parking tickets, jaywalking, lay it on me.
Dad!
Stiles opines.
Can I come in? Derek asks.
Stiles has only seen his father sit stiffly on the couch, unmoving with his hands cupped around his knees the same way once. He hadn't known at the time, but his mother had called from her doctor to tell his dad about the creeping illness that was hauling her out from the inside, had said to him that she wasn't ready to tell him to his face, that she had had to be a coward about this one thing. Stiles had found his dad in the living room, sitting exactly the same way, staring at the wall after the phone call, and his dad hadn't moved for 2 hours, not until his mom had walked through the front door and they'd both sat Stiles down to explain what was about to happen. Dad, are you... Is there any way to be really sure? His dad asks.
I'm sure, Derek says.
Right. Okay. You'll have to forgive me, but this might take a little while to process.
Of course,
Derek says, moving to raise to his feet, but the sheriff puts his hand out, grabs Stiles' collar roughly, and hauls him almost into his chest. Stiles forced to awkwardly hover off the coffee table he was seated on. Are you okay? Are you? His dad sounds terrified, and Stiles swallows reflexively.
No, I'm good, Dad, honestly. Still a squishy human, I swear.
He says quickly when his dad tightens his grip. His dad finally releases him and Stiles drops his butt back onto the coffee table, Derek hovering and not looking like he might be as ready to leave as he was a few seconds ago.
But your friends? All your friends?
Not Allison or Lydia.
Scott?
Yeah, that was totally an accident. It wasn't Derek.
Was it because of Derek?
His dad demands, gaze flicking up and Stiles shuffles so he's between them, even though it might not be the wisest thing he's ever done. No, it was because of Kate Argent, he says, and he can feel Derek's heavy gaze on the back of his head. That's a whole lot of story for another time, though, when we fix this.
You can fix this?
His dad's asking Derek, and Derek looks unhelpfully furtive. There's one strong possibility, but you won't like it. There might be other options. We're checking with a resource.
That all sounds very...
His dad makes a helpless gesture with his hands before they settle on his knees again.
Look, about 20 minutes ago, I would have laughed in the face of anyone that suggested I would ask this, but can Styles stay with you? He'll be safe with you, right?
Of course.
Dad, no way! You can forget it, Styles snaps.
You don't get a say, his dad says, still only looking at Derek.
I don't get a say in leaving you alone to do something stupid?
When his dad's eyes skip guiltily away, Styles knows he's right.
Look, I'm all about the compromise. I'll stay here, and one of the others, I'll stay too.
Derek interrupts, and Styles cranes around so he can stare at him.
Dude, you don't have to do that. Either Scott or Isaac are watching Cooper. Apparently, I can't go anywhere near him on pain of an arrow in the ass, so the only thing left for me to do is to keep the Stilinskys out of trouble.
I didn't know veterinarians made house calls, the sheriff said dryly when Deaton walks into the living room about an hour later.
Dad, Stiles says, behave.
It's obviously never too early for bad jokes when a Stilinsky is involved, Deaton says, a smile as mild and reassuring as ever.
Stiles isn't sure why he ever thought that anyone that Zen was normal.
What'd you find out? Derek demands before Deaton even has a chance to sit.
Would you like some coffee, Dr. D? Styles asks pointedly, and Deaton offers Styles a grateful nod.
Strong and in the biggest cup you have, Deaton says, and Styles goes to make it, listening to the gentle murmur of voices from the living room and the kitchen.
Deaton starts with pleasantries, but neither his dad nor Derek are patient enough for that, so Deaton sighs and waits just long enough to get his coffee in hand before he says,
I haven't been able to find anything concrete.
You find something, though?
His dad asks hopefully, hands clenching in a fist.
Look, not about reversing the bite specifically, but I did manage to track down some information about Cooper.
What? Derek growls.
Deaton gives him an unreadable look and sets his cup down.
Apparently he killed the alpha that made him to get his power.
Styles feels his hopes melt away like ice under the skin. That had been their last, best hope. What Derek had told them originally about bitten wolves returning to their original state if they killed the alpha that turned them before a full moon.
Does that mean something? His dad asks, unaware that his only out just vanished.
So it's not true then, Derek says slowly, and he looks almost relieved about it.
Styles is livid for about a second before he remembers Scott, and that Derek had stolen Scott's own chance. If killing the Alpha had done nothing to return Scott to humanity, but instead would have lumped an unprepared wolf with Alpha power, Styles can see why Derek's first reaction would be relief.
It is true, Deaton says, surprising Styles and obviously by his expression. Derek as well.
Does someone want to explain to me just what you're all on about? I feel like I'm being talked around.
His dad interjects, starting to look a little pissed off and more worryingly, a little gold-eyed.
Dad, chill out, okay?
Styles says, leaning over to squeeze his dad's knee, and he closes his eye for a moment, breathes deep, and then opens his eyes again and they're back to their normal color.
See? This is why you don't turn a bunch of teenagers, Deaton says to Derek, who grumbles under his breath.
Lycanthropy is a strange mix of magic and biology. There's no rule set in stone because they shift like sand. What's true for one werewolf is not necessarily true for the next, but like any species, there are a few things that remain constant to ensure perpetuation.
That's a whole lot of words for not telling me much.
Sheriff, I'm getting to it. A werewolf's greatest drive is to have a pack, be part of a pack. They're strongest when they are advantaged. Now, imagine this drive to create a pack warring with a fear that anyone you turn into a wolf will try and kill you to take control, take your power.
Doesn't sound like a very good deal, his dad says, and Deaton nods.
It's not, which is why it doesn't work that way. If you kill the alpha that made you, you don't get their power. You revert to being human.
Wait, you just said this Cooper guy killed his own alpha, the one that made him?
Yes, this is why I think Cooper did something to ensure he wouldn't revert, that he would instead inherit the alpha power, but it's not natural, and I don't think it's sitting right.
None of this is natural, his dad grunts, and Styles feels Derek bristle beside him.
Styles takes his hand from his dad's knee and knuckles Derek's shoulder. He's asking for Derek to be a little understanding, that his dad just had a bad shock, and his sum total about wolves comes from bad Hollywood horror movies.
You might not even have to kill Cooper. You might just have to break whatever he's done to hold into his power, return to balance.
That's good, right? Styles pipes up, because while he's been mostly resigned to having to watch his dad rip out a werewolf's throat, he hadn't been exactly relishing the idea.
He feels a little better about the possibility knowing Cooper already killed someone and wasn't just a lonely alpha trying to start a pack. We have to find out what he did before we can figure out how to reverse it. I've got a few ideas, but I'll need some help. Stiles retrieves his phone, finds Lydia's number, and dials. Research twins! Activate! Form of, research twins! Stiles chirps gamely when Lydia answers. You're a giant dork, she says, which is Lydia speak for being on her way. Deaton brings him an armload of books to get started, and Lydia appears shortly after. Her bored expression vanishes and is replaced by a steely kind of resolve when Stiles explains what's happened. She squeezes Stiles briefly and then surprises his dad with a kiss on the cheek. Never fear, I'm here, she says, stretching out her hands and arms like she's about to start playing the piano. Who's the dork again? Stiles says and gets a smack to the forehead for his trouble. They spread out on the floor of the living room, Stiles' dad retreating to his study and Derek to somewhere else that is still around because every now and then Stiles feels the creeping sensation of being watched. Stiles was making a slow and painful way through a book that promised to be in English when he first picked it up, but that hadn't helped him understand it. Lydia is paging quickly through a book that is decidedly not, looking unconcerned about it. Stiles tosses the book he's working on aside and reaches for another, making a satisfied sound when he finds this one has pictures. It's a book of protection and power symbols, and Stiles flips through it, not at all sure what he's looking for. I don't like what this book is doing to my hands. I'm totally wasting my manicure, Lydia says, holding up one perfect finger with an equally perfect painted nail at the end of it. I know. It's murder on my cuticles, Stiles agrees, holding out his own stumpy bitten down nails under Lydia's nose, and she makes a disgusted sound and swats his hand aside. Because he's not really paying attention, something catches the corner of his eye and Stiles brings his focus back to the book. The symbol he's looking at might not have registered as familiar if he'd been looking at it straight on. Only because he caught the edge of it, he sees something. What? I know that face. What did you find? Lydia demands, bringing a leg around so she can push her toes into his leg. I'm not really... Stiles frowns at the text that's accompanying the symbol that's caught his attention. I don't think it can be. This can't be right. Just tell me, Lydia presses, tossing her own book aside and propping her chin on her hands. It's called a martyr mark. It's a protective symbol, a way for a werewolf to lock his power into his body. That sounds perfect. It's meant for a werewolf that's already an alpha, to stop witches siphoning their power off. You're far too literal, Lydia says, and when Stiles only offers her a blank look, she adds, sometimes a bowl is just a bowl. That's supposed to mean something. Say you've got this bowl in the kitchen, and you proclaim that it's your egg bowl, that you will do nothing but use it for scrambling eggs. I have an egg bowl. You would, weirdo. When Stiles gives her a get-on-with-it wave of his hands, Lydia does. Just because you've called it an egg bowl doesn't mean it wouldn't hold water or candy or anything else just as effectively. So you're saying this symbol would hold an alpha's power in no matter the circumstances or the where? Exactly, Lydia makes a face. How can we check he has it, though? Stiles is way ahead of her, lowering a page from his notebook over the etching of the symbol in the book, adjusting it so he can only see the edges past the paper. Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure he has it. How do you know that? I've seen it. Isaac knocks on the door to report on Cooper's movements, and he looks so tentative when it's Stiles that answers the door that Stiles rolls his eyes and reaches out his arms. Isaac hesitates for a second like he always does before he steps into the hug, dropping his head onto Stiles' shoulder and breathing deep. Derek appears behind him, but Isaac takes his time pulling away. Stiles always lets himself be the one to break hugs because he's the only one who ever knows how much of a hug he needs. He used to take affection quickly, like a thief in the night, but now he takes his time about it. Isaac takes the phrase, hug it out, to extremes, but it's not the weirdest thing about pack life. He gives excellent hugs, so Stiles is complaining. Derek doesn't look impressed, however, and he finally seems to get tired of waiting, grips the back of Isaac's collar and jerks him out of Stiles' arms. Teenage werewolves, he grumbles, and Isaac and Stiles smirk at each other. Cooper's still at his motel. Scott and Boyd are watching him. Eric's going to spell him in a little while. Good. Did you see Allison? Derek asks, and Stiles punches him in the arm. She's there. You better believe she's there, buddy. Yeah, she got bored a little while ago and shot Scott in the face with a Nerf arrow. I don't know how she gets the range on the things she does.
Isaac says, a note of admiration in his voice. Any news on this end? We think we know how Cooper did it, Stiles says, and Derek shuffles Isaac aside so he can advance on Stiles. How? That's not really the issue, Stiles says, and Derek scowls at him. I decide what the issue is. No, you don't. This is not Alpha jurisdiction. This is Stiles' jurisdiction. Because? Because he's my dad, Stiles says, and Derek grimaces and steps back. Fine. All right. What's the issue, then? You kill the Alpha that turned you. Boom. Instant human again. Except Cooper isn't really an Alpha, so we're not sure what that will mean. Derek shakes his head. It's the best way, to kill Cooper while he's still an Alpha, for your dad to do it. Yeah, which, in a perfect world, yay, good plan, but it's not a perfect world, and we have no idea how powerful Cooper is. If it came down to it, Cooper's jaws around someone's throat, one of the betas, or even mine, would you really be able to resist killing him? Before Derek can argue about not going, Stiles waves his hands. Yes, I thought of leaving you out of the fight, but really, we have to assume you're the only one that's a match for him. We pretty much need you to pin him down and tag my dad in.
We could try Wolfsbane, Isaac proposes.
Yeah, maybe. It's just that we might be dealing with a human with alpha powers and not really a wolf. That might be why he smelled weird to Derek.
So Wolfsbane wouldn't do anything.
If we shore him too early, if he runs, that's it. We need a plan that will work first time. Stiles can't sleep, so he's pawing through the open fridge when he hears a noise from the hallway. He looks up and sees his dad pass by, glassy-eyed and mumbling on his way to the front door. Stiles darts over to him, gets in his way.
Hey there, where do you think you're going?
I have stuff I need to do. His dad says, sounding completely out of it, and Stiles winces. He knows what this is. Scott told him about the nights when Peter was still kicking around his alpha, when he would wake up in his bed with dirt all over his feet and having no memory of left the house. His dad's being called by his alpha. Dad, no, hey, you're not. Stiles starts to say, and his dad backhands him. It's a swift motion. He didn't even see it coming, and he's getting pretty good at judging these things lately, which says bad things about his life choices. Stiles is knocked to the floor, his whole cheek feeling like it's on fire. Before he can scramble to his feet again, his dad's at the front door. Dad! Stiles calls, but when his dad pulls the door open, Derek is on the other side. Derek slaps his dad. It's probably more noisy than painful, but Stiles sees his dad hesitate and then seem to shake himself. What? You were getting called by your alpha. They do that when you're sleeping so you're more susceptible. You should... Stiles! Derek sees him past his dad's shoulder, sprawled and cradling his face. He sees his dad turn, the horror on his face when he looks at his hand and there's a smear of blood on his knuckles. Stiles touches his fingers under his nose and they come away wet. Oh my god, Stiles, did I do that? He demands, looking appalled. It's okay, I've had worse. Stiles says, going for jovial, but it's absolutely the worst thing to say. He expects his dad to grab him, check his face. But instead he hesitates and then steps out of Derek's path into the house, gestures for Derek to do it. He obviously doesn't trust himself to so much as touch Stiles now. Are you okay? Derek demands, reaching out, and Stiles waves him off. I'm good, don't worry. Where were you? He knows it's unfair that Derek wasn't far, but his face hurts and his dad looks awful.
I was walking the perimeter, he says.
And really, who just comes out with stuff like that? Derek is absolutely ridiculous. I thought maybe Cooper might try to come here. Erica and Isaac are at his place. They'll call if they... Stiles notices that Derek is now not looking at him. Wait. Wait. Did you go to Cooper's? He demands. I just wanted to check on him myself. What about Allison? Scott was distracting her, Derek says, and he looks contrite, but Stiles is extremely pissed off and he has good reason this time. You were supposed to be watching out for us.
I was. From across town?
Stiles waves a hand in his face. How'd that work out? Stiles, his dad starts to say, and Stiles sees red.
Don't you dare defend him. Don't you do it. I've had to hear the Derek is the bad guy speech 18 times. Yes, Dad, I count it. So I really don't want to listen to you change your mind about that right now.
He's not, though, right? That's what you kept telling me, his dad says.
Unbelievable, Stiles roars, throws up his hands and shoulders past Derek out the door.
Just where do you think you're going? Derek demands.
I'm going to Lydia's. She took all the books. I'm going to enjoy thinking about you two stuck in a house alone together and how awkward that will be.
It's 3 a.m, Lydia says when she opens the door. You're awake, Stiles points out, and she shrugs and pushes her door open further for him.
So I found something that might help, Lydia says as she bounces onto her bed, and Stiles lowers himself onto a floor cushion.
She had touched his reddening cheek, made a small distress noise, then fetched him a cold pack, but hadn't asked about it, which Stiles appreciates.
Lay it on me, Stiles says, tugging his sleeve over his hand so he doesn't freeze his fingers off, holding the ice pack on his face.
You can steal someone's protection.
Are you serious?
You have to be touching them to do it, which is inconvenient, but yeah, you can.
That's great, but we're not sure if just stripping Cooper of his power will make my dad revert.
Stiles, I've been talking to Deaton and reading a lot of this stuff. What Cooper has done is so far out of left field that your dad killing him when he's still alpha in this way, we're not sure what it'll do, but all indications are that it'll err on the side of unpleasant.
Stiles chews on his lip for a second.
It might. This is the safest option. If your dad accidentally takes in this alpha power, this skewed alpha power, he might end up insane like Peter did.
He won't. If he stays a werewolf, he'll...
You have to convince him that it will be okay, that he can still have a life, that he won't hurt you.
Lydia's eyes flick briefly to Stiles' cheek and away again. Stiles knows if this doesn't work, if his dad does remain a werewolf, then he won't be able to convince his dad of anything.
So, Stiles says, dry washes his face with his hands.
Do we really want to give Derek this extra boost? He's already pretty insufferable as it is.
You suck.
I know. Allison looks appropriately apologetic, which probably works on Scott, but Stiles isn't Scott. He punches her in the shoulder.
Ow, hey.
Stiles, Scott says, surprised.
You suck too.
Stiles points out and Scott makes a face, like he's aware and accepting of that.
Will you two just talk to each other? You're both making me crazy, Allison says, tapping their shoulders and then stepping back.
Dude, look.
Yeah, I didn't.
No, I know. So we're...
Yeah, we are.
They hug and Allison rolls her eyes.
Oh my god, really?
When you've known someone since you were 3, you don't need anything as mundane as full sentences, Stiles says haughtily, and Scott chuckles, nudging into his shoulder.
So, this is the evil lair, is it?
Scott waggles his fingers on evil lair, mostly to indicate how disappointed he is. Cooper's staying at the rundown Beacon Hills Motor Inn. It's kind of a creepy place, but in a perfectly boring fashion.
So, Isaac tells me, Stiles starts, but Scott puts a hand over his mouth and juts his chin in the direction of the third door on the second floor of the split-level motel.
It creeps open, and Cooper comes out, shouldering a satchel and not looking sinister at all. They're hunkered in a clump of trees on the other side of the road from the motel's parking lot, so they should be out of scent and sound range. But Scott still feels goose flesh break out across his skin when Cooper seems to pause, incline his head a little, and then smile to himself.
Dude, I think he knows we're here, Stiles says, or tries to, but it's muffled because Scott is still holding the hand over his mouth.
He licks Scott's palm, and Scott makes a satisfying, disgusted grunt and releases Stiles' head. Allison glances at Stiles and then back at Cooper, who seems completely unconcerned as he jogs down the steps through the gravel parking lot, and then slings his satchel into the trunk of a decrepit-looking yellow Toyota. Hands grab Stiles around the waist from behind, and Stiles bites down on a shriek, spinning around to smack Erica.
Oh my god, don't do that! He wheezes.
Isaac appears behind her, and he's grinning.
You guys go on to school.
Isaac and I've got it,
Erica says.
You've school too, and we know Cooper does.
Stiles points out, and Erica makes a face at him.
Spoil sport.
Come on, everybody,
Allison says, urging them all up when the Toyota peels it out of the parking lot and disappears down the road. He'll get suspicious if any of the wolves are absent.
But I have a French quiz, Erica whines.
Stilinski. Stiles freezes, head still buried in his locker. The bell went only a few minutes ago, the hallway emptying rapidly. Stiles had a freeze, so he was grabbing the notes he needed to do his history paper before he headed to the library. He drags his head out from behind his locker door slowly, and of course Cooper is standing there on the other side, leaning against the row with his hands tucked into his pockets.
Hi?
How's the sheriff? He asks, looking nothing but politely interested. Stiles is about to say good thanks, and then scurry like he's never scurried before, but he can't. He just can't.
Oh my god, really? You're just gonna come up to me in the middle of the day in school and ask me that? Cooper's eyebrows lift and he's smiling, amused. Stiles is starting to get the feeling that this is a cat-and-mouse scenario, and he's most definitely the mouse. "That looks like it hurts," Cooper says, waving a hand at the bruising on Stiles' cheekbone. Stiles had been hoping to escape his dad's hit without a shiner, but it wasn't to be, and before he left that morning, his dad had spotted him and made an awful pain noise before retreating to his study and locking the door. "Fuck you," Stiles grits. He knows he's basically taking his life in his hands right now, that bad guys don't always wait for the dead of night or a deserted area to attack. He could die right here in the school hallway while everyone else is in class, being bored and not having their lives ruined by werewolves.
"Now, Stiles, that's not very nice."
Cooper tuts and reaches out a hand to grip Stiles' chin. Stiles tries to wrench out of his hold, but Cooper tightens until Stiles lets out a squeak and is pretty sure he's going to be wearing another bruise. "You should be more respectful to your future alpha."
"You're crazy," Stiles is appalled.
Cooper's grip finally loosens and he's scrubbing his fingers through Stiles' hair.
"I wondered, you know, why you didn't take the bite when all your friends are wolves. It's your dad, right?"
"It's not that simple."
"I think it is," Cooper says.
"I think it's exactly that simple. You don't have any extended family. You and your dad are all each other half. If you became a wolf, he loses you too, plain and simple. I saw it, and Hale didn't, or he would have done what I did."
"No, he wouldn't. Derek would never do that."
"Oh, I think you'd be surprised as what lengths Hale would go to for you."
"You don't know what you're talking about."
"I'm giving you a gift, Stiles. You'll see that eventually."
The door opens further down the hall, and Stiles jerks his gaze sideways, sees Scott leaning out of a classroom. He's frowning, and when Stiles looks back, Cooper's gone.
"You okay?" Scott calls as Stiles hears Miss Billings yelling from inside for Scott to get his ass back in his seat.
"Fine," Scott says, waving Scott off, and Scott still looks unsure for a second before he ducks back inside.
Stiles slumps against the locker, breathing hard.
Stiles tries to make it from his Jeep to his door to his room without encountering Derek when he gets home, but Derek catches him on the stairs. Stiles is pushed back and down, so he's lying awkwardly on the carpeted steps as Derek jams his nose into Stiles' face.
Dude, I'm not sure my dad would understand if he saw this."
"He touched you. Again."
Derek growls, sounding murderous.
"There was just some mild threatening, I swear."
"I'm gonna rip his head off," Derek promises. The words set into Stiles' skin, and he knows Derek can probably hear the way his heart spikes. Hopes he thinks it's the threat and not anything else that's making his pulse race.
"You can do whatever you like after we implement our brilliant plan," Stiles says, and Derek pulls back a fraction to stare into Stiles' face. He adds,
"I swear, hollow his head out and use it for a candy dish for all I care. Just after."
"You've got a plan?"
"Do you want to back off so it isn't look like to my dad that you're dry-humping me in the middle of the house? That won't be good for his calm."
Derek pulls a face, but he levers back onto his heels, enough so Stiles can wiggle a step under his butt. He's barely settled when Derek wedges himself back in, beside him this time, so they're just as close, but it would look less amorous to an outsider.
"Cooper's pulling a Lost Boys," Stiles says, and when Derek gives him a blank look, Stiles sighs.
"Of course. Why would you watch a vampire movie, even though it's a cult classic of the 80s?
Just make a point.
So, this whole movie, you think that a younger and punkier Keith Sutherland is the head vampire, after Jason Patrick to join his little vampire family? Now that I'm saying it out loud, this movie has some scary parallels to our lives.
Stiles."
"Right, fine, jeez. Anyway, so it's not until the last 5 minutes that you find out that Keith Sutherland wasn't the head vampire at all. It was this creepy video store owner that was dating Jason Patrick's mom, and he was doing that to bring Jason Patrick and his little brother into the vampire fold."
"You've lost me."
"Dude, I'm Jason Patrick, and my dad is Diane West."
Derek is pretty much just glaring at him, and Stiles rolls his eyes.
"Okay, you obviously have to see this movie to actually understand what I'm talking about. Basically, Cooper bit my dad so I would take it, would take the bite."
Stiles doesn't know what happens next exactly. One moment he and Derek are sitting side by side on the steps leading up to his room, and the next, he's in his room, pinned to the floor with Derek holding him down, eyes blazing red. Stiles wheezes in indignation, pretty sure that Derek just slung him over his shoulder and carried him caveman style. What's really bugging him is the totally inappropriate reaction his body's having to all of this. Way too enthusiastic for his indignity.
"Derek?" Stiles says levelly, hating away his voice tremors. Derek's breathing hard, obviously trying to get himself under control,
but then things could get worse because Styles' dad is there, lifting Derek off him and roaring. Derek gets pitched into the wall opposite, and while his dad isn't totally wolfed out, he's on his way there, already the shadow of Dodgy Wolf's sideburns appearing. "Dad, no!" Styles yells, because he knows who will come off worse in the scenario. His dad has surprise on his side for a moment, but Derek is much stronger, more experienced. Derek's up and roaring back, baring fangs and flashing the blood-tinged alpha eyes, but his dad isn't backing down. Has instead stepped over Styles and is crouched in front of him protectively. When Derek finally focuses on what his dad is doing, his whole body loses its tension, fangs recede, and he rises from his own crouch. "Sheriff," he says, husky voice. "Dad!" Styles tries again, grips his dad's ankle and squeezes it even though it might not be the best time to call attention to himself. His dad looks down at him, and then the gold in his eyes winks out, and he's hunkering down, patting over Styles with a concerned furrow between his brows. "God, sorry, are you all right?" "I'm fine," Styles says, takes the opportunity to wrap his arms around his dad's neck and squeeze. His dad hugs him back fiercely, a little too tight to be comfortable maybe, but Styles doesn't want to let go because his dad has been afraid to come near him, and Styles never realized how used to physical displays of affection he'd gotten because of the wolves, how he'd slowly gotten his dad used to them too, until it was all easy pats and hugs and neither of them being embarrassed about it. "You were just protecting me. What happened?" his dad demands, flicking distrustful eyes at Derek. "I lost it for a second," Derek says. "I'm sorry, Styles. I just the thought of what?" his dad demands, helping Styles to his feet. "Cooper wants Styles for his pack," Derek says, a shiver passing over his skin like he's fighting off the urge to maybe grab Styles again. "It's because I'm your," Styles swallows hard, corrects. "Because I'm part of your pack, though, right? He's trying to cock a leg over your property." Styles grimaces at his own metaphor. No matter how apt, he's becoming an unwitting pawn in a werewolf pissing contest. "It's not just that," Derek says, looking extremely uncomfortable. "It's because, oh my god, he can smell it, right?" Styles groans, mortified. "He can smell how pathetic I am." Derek blinks, looking confused. "What?" Scott appears in Styles' doorway, saving Styles from the most horrifying conversation of his life. He knows he's been attracted to Derek for a while now, and he's pretty sure every werewolf in the Beacon Hills town limits, including Derek himself, knows too, and is just being cool about not mentioning it. Styles is extremely grateful, considering they feel compelled to tease him about everything else under the sun. He just wasn't exactly looking forward to explaining it to his dad. "Everything okay?" Scott asks, obviously having noticed the tension in the air. "What happened?" Derek demands. "Lydia's finished. She sent me," Scott says. "Finish what?" Derek asks. "It's inelegant, but it'll work," Lydia says, tossing a small bottle of blue powder over. "Are you sure about this?" Derek asks, directing the question at Styles. His dad is back at their house, despite his protests and being guarded by Isaac and Erica, who had grumbled mightily about being left out of the fight. Boyd and Scott are with Derek, on hand to help take Cooper down long enough for Derek to get a hand on him. "If you got a better way, I'd love to hear it," Lydia says primly. "It'll work," Styles says. "His protection will transfer to you, and not only will we be stripping him of his power, but you'll get it. Win-win." "What do I do?" Derek asks, palming the bottle and still looking a little dubious. "Break the bottle between your hands, press the powder to his tattoo," Lydia says. "Just be careful. With what it took to make this stuff, you'd better believe this is a one-shot deal." "What I don't get is why Cooper hasn't disappeared yet," Boyd says, as Derek tucks the bottle carefully into his jacket pocket. "He doesn't know that we know, right?" Styles says, shrugging. "It's hard to let go when there's fixation," Derek adds, dropping his gaze. Styles remembers the whole thing with Isaac before the mess even started. How he'd sit on the lacrosse bench the day after his impromptu mud bath, and the resulting conversation with Scott, stewing about being rejected. Cooper must have thought he was the easiest, most irresistible target in the world, smelling of another pack and frustrated loneliness all at the same time. He remembers how Derek picked Isaac, Erica, and Boyd, what his selection criteria had been. Boyd and Scott are giving Derek a funny look before they all turn to Styles, expectant. "Right," Styles says gamely. "Time for my Oscar-winning performance." Cooper doesn't look surprised to see Styles at his door, but he does look suspicious. Stiles hopes being out of scent range doesn't mean they'll be too far away to stop it if Cooper decides to just cut his losses and maybe Stiles' throat.
Stilinski, Cooper says, crossing his arms and leaning a shoulder against a motel room door frame.
He's wearing a loose-fitting t-shirt, and Stiles can see more of the tattoo edging out of the collar in one sleeve. He's just sure that it looks exactly like it's supposed to.
Hi, Stiles said. Just thought I'd drop by and see if that offer of yours is still on the table.
I haven't offered you anything yet, Cooper says, and Stiles blinks for a second thrown. Then Cooper grins at him, shark-like.
I much prefer you ask. No, scratch that. Beg me for it, and I'm not sure you're desperate enough yet.
My dad will. He's going to do something really stupid because he thinks you're going to eventually hurt me. I need a reason for him not to. A compelling reason.
Yeah, come back when I can believe you, Cooper says and starts to swing the door shut.
Right before he does, Stiles sees something in his face change, and it's not fast enough to lunge out of the way when Cooper snaps out a hand and grabs him by the collar, yanking him inside, slamming him against the door.
You think I'm stupid? He roars and Stiles winces his claws puncture his shoulder.
I'm just here.
You're telling the truth, which is a nice touch, Cooper growls, eyes narrowing, the red of a low-bank fire seeping into them. You really are worried about your father ending his life.
He will if you don't.
That's not why you're here. And considering I can smell some fast-approaching wolves, I think you can drop the act.
Damn it, Stiles huffs. Look!
In movies, the good guys always get a precious few minutes to talk their way out of sticky situations, mostly because the bad guys are too busy gloating about their brilliance to just get on with things. Stiles has learned that life isn't like the movies, and instead of Cooper indulging in some more inappropriately timed monologuing, he leans in and bites down on the joint where Stiles' neck meets his shoulder. It's unlike anything Stiles has ever felt before, and he screams.
There's the sound of roaring and fighting when Stiles drags his way out of the fog. Somehow he's made it outside because he's lying face down on the gravel of the parking lot. He rolls over slowly, checking for broken bones or anything else that's mushier than it should be, and other than a dull burning where Cooper bit him and a stinging in his cheek he must have gotten from hitting the deck, he thinks he's okay. Except, Cooper bit him. Stiles sits up slowly and immediately regrets it. And the ground feeling like it's rolling underneath him. Stiles fights the urge to throw up, then casts a bleary glance around. He spots Boyd sitting slumped over near one of the motel's dumpsters, and Scott sprawled a few feet away with Allison crouched by him, bow held steady, a frown of concentration on her face. Stiles follows the direction of her gaze and can see why she's not firing. Derek and Cooper are locked together, wrestling, snarling, biting. They're in a blur of fury, too fast and too locked together for Allison to get a clear shot. Derek's lost his jacket. After scanning the parking lot, Stiles spots it lying in a crumpled heap a few feet away from him. Stiles tries to get his legs underneath him, but they aren't receiving messages from his brain right now, so instead he pushes awkwardly to hands and knees, tries to ignore the burn of dragging bare palms across the gritty surface of the parking lot, and inches his way to the jacket, just praying the bottle of powder isn't broken. As Stiles gets close enough to reach out and tug the jacket towards him, Derek and Cooper roll closer, and he can hear that Cooper saved his taunting for Derek.
He's going to be mine now, Cooper snarls into Derek's face. You were too weak to reach out and take what you wanted. You're pathetic.
Derek makes the sound of pure rage that brings goose flesh out on Stiles' skin. The sound turns Stiles' blood to ice water because he knows what it means. Derek is going to kill Cooper. Stiles gathers every last shred of strength and will in his body, digs into Derek's jacket to retrieve the bottle, and then surges to his feet. Something in his body feels like it just tears free, but Stiles ignores it because Derek is going to kill Cooper, and Stiles has to stop him.
Derek! He screams, and can't believe how wounded he sounds.
Derek roars again, and he manages to pin Cooper beneath him, and then he's leaning over, jaws aiming for Cooper's throat. Right before he connects, though, he just stops. Stiles can't imagine the force of will that takes, and then Derek is holding out a hand at Stiles, actually snaps his fingers impatient. Stiles slaps the bottle into Derek's waiting palm, and he quickly breaks it between his hands, smacks him down on Cooper's bared and bloody chest, and the edge of the tattoo that curls over his collarbone. Cooper's eyes widen, and then his whole body bows upwards, a horrible ragged moan escaping from deep within him.
Stiles watches as Cooper's tattoo becomes liquid that races across his body, spills over Derek's hands, and then races up Derek's own arms. Stiles topples backwards as Cooper finally slumps, still making a bruised kind of mewling, and then he's being gathered up. Derek's ashen face above him. Stiles, hey, stay with me. Stiles would love to stick around, but it appears like unconsciousness has his number and he can't do anything but accept the call. Al, I'm being as gentle as I can be. I'm not inclined to believe you, Stiles grumbles. Yeah, well, I shouldn't be doing this at all. You don't deserve it after giving me a heart attack, Derek says, leaning over Stiles' palm in the small bathroom. Tweezers poised. Stiles has what feels like a million bits of gravel embedded in his hands, and while Jen rubbing with the fluffiest washer he could find had dislodged most of them, there were some stubborn bits that had worked their way too deeply into his cuts to be coaxed out that way. Derek is actually being careful, surprisingly enough. Is Dad really okay? Stiles asks, probably for the 15th time, but Derek doesn't begrudge him an answer, doesn't lose patience with his need for reassurance. He still smells a little weird, but definitely human, he says. And me? Derek hesitates and says, you always smell weird. Har, har, Stiles grumbles. You're human, Stiles, Derek says. At least as close as you ever get. I still think there's some alien DNA mixed in there somehow. Derek sets the tweezers aside. Let me check your shoulder. Have you gotten some kind of medical degree I don't know about? Stiles asks, only offers a token grumble when Derek manhandles him out of his shirt. Derek palms the warm skin over where Cooper had bitten him. There's the raised pink of the bite, but it looks days old instead of hours. The skin is no longer broken. Stiles is not about to question the oddness of werewolf healing magic and wonder why the bite started to heal and his scraped palms didn't. He knows which one he'd prefer to be left with. You think it'll scar? Stiles asks. I don't know. I hope not, Derek says, frowning at the mark like he can make it disappear just by his disapproval of his existence alone. It's kind of badass, though, Stiles says, and Derek grunts and leans in, nosing over the place. I don't like it, he says into Stiles' skin, and Stiles swallows. Derek pulls back then, and it's fortunate he does. You okay, kiddo? Stiles looks up to see his dad hovering in the doorway. He can't explain how reassuring it is to see his dad in uniform, like it automatically resets everything to normal. Practically good as new, Stiles says as Derek makes short work of wrapping his hands in the bandages. From the well-start first aid kit, his dad had always insisted on keeping ever since Stiles grew a foot and an inability to walk in a straight line without falling on his face when he was 15. You want to work? Don't see why not. I'm fine, right? He looks at Derek, who nods. Okay, then. Just stay up too late. You might want to order pizza soon before your friends downstairs start gnawing on the furniture. Stiles grins as his dad leans into the bathroom to drop a kiss on his forehead before he heads out. He's pretty cool, Derek says as he finishes with Stiles' hands. Yeah, the best, Stiles agrees. He'd been thinking that maybe his dad wouldn't tolerate having the other wolves around since he'd lost his own furry tendencies, but he just shrugged when the pack had set up camp in their living room after everything went down, and then very prudently hid his stash of Oreos. So, pizza? Stiles asks, standing. Derek tucks a hand into the waistband of Stiles' jeans and tugs him back down before he can escape the close space. Their knees knock together, and Stiles gives Derek a puzzled look. Are you okay? I want you to understand something. Why Cooper went after you, Derek says. Stiles blinks at him before he sits back a little, wary. Dude, I know why, he says. It's because it wasn't you, Derek says. He looks a little uncomfortable, but also resolute. I mean, it was you, but it wasn't. It's hard to explain. Try me, Stiles prods. There's the sound of something breaking downstairs and Stiles winces. Better make it quick. He could smell my attraction to you, Derek says, all in a rush like the words are hard to push past his teeth. Stiles says, which is not the most eloquent response ever, but it's all he can come up with before there is a louder smash from below them, and then Scott is yelling about whatever had happened not being his fault. Okay, hold that thought, Stiles says. Before he can retreat, Derek grabs his forearm and tugs him back down again, basically right onto Derek's lips, which, yes, okay, that's... Stiles' thoughts kind of skip a little, and when they restart, Derek is pushing him gently away and grinning in a soft way that Stiles has never seen before.
"I wanted a better thought to hold," Derek says, looking impossibly smug and infuriatingly adorable.
Stiles trips downstairs when he works out how to walk again, only to see Scott blinking and desperately trying to shove feathers back into one of the couch cushions. The others are sitting around the table in the kitchen, looking far too innocent.
"I hate you all," Stiles announces, but then he has to laugh helplessly when Scott coughs and feathers come out of his nose.
The end. This has been Powerful Incentive by Kellifer Fick. Original story text can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/572973.